Jim McGovern of the beautiful Massachusetts 2nd District. There is a proposal from the President of the United States that he wants to see teachers armed. There's been a huge pushback from the teachers themselves, their unions, and everybody else. What are you thinking about all of this?
Yeah, I think it's a crazy idea. I mean, I have two sisters who are school teachers in the Worcester Public Schools, and they can't believe that that's a proposal that's being taken seriously. I mean, one is that they don't want to learn how to fire a gun. They want to teach. I mean, that's their focus, and if you have guns in the classroom, and what if somebody got access to it who shouldn't, and what happens if there was an issue, and how would the police know who is the shooter and who wasn't? And look, they don't want any of that. And again, that's not a solution to this. I know the president is into like simple-minded, sound bites, but this is a bad this is a bad policy to be pursuing, and I don't think there's a lot of support for it.
Let's go to a different place, and that is the new GOP tax, so-called tax overhaul. I'm wondering how that affects people in your district.
Well, for most people, it's not going to help them at all. I mean, some of my constituents may end up paying more because of the fact that they, lowered the amount of deduction for state and local taxes that you can take. But this was never about helping my constituents. It was about helping a very small group in this country who are well-connected and well-off. I mean, 84% of all the benefits go to the top 1% of this country. And, that's... To me, not what a good tax bill, should be all about, and especially one that puts us into deficit spending by an additional $2.3 or $2.4 trillion. I would rather have spent that money not on a tax cut for wealthy people or for corporations, but on infrastructure to rebuild our aging roads and our bridges, to rebuild our railway systems. I mean, we ought to be committing ourselves to building the best railway system in the world in the next decade here in this country. We need to build up a clean, green, renewable energy infrastructure in this country. You know, all that money that they spent on this tax cut could have gone to that. And I think that would have stimulated economic growth and done more, to help our economy grow than anything. But I think this was a bad bill. And by the way, I should also point out it was a bad bill that came out of a bad process where there wasn't a single hearing on the tax bill. No amendments were made in order, it was just brought to the floor. And when you have a lousy process, you usually have lousy legislation.
Now, President Trump supposedly joked, although many people thought, as Freud said, that there is no joke, supposedly joked that President Xi of China now will be president for life, it would appear. Maybe we should try that here in the United States. What did you make of that?
Well, I think he was, if he was joking, he was half joking, because I think that's what he would like. I mean, I tweeted, a reference to that story, and I wrote, we will never let this happen here. And look, this is a president who has challenged our institutions. Whether it's the press, whether it's our courts, or even the way we do government here. He's been obsessed with, dictators and, oppressive leaders. He seems to be impressed with them more than he is with our democratic allies. And I think he likes the idea of kind of being dictator or king. And I just worry that he's chipping away at some of the fundamentals of this country. We got to make sure that he doesn't do it. Look, he's going through a tough phase right now. I mean, everybody says that, he lashes out and he's angry and he's upset with all the press stories about conflicts of interest in his administration. He's upset with Bob Mueller's investigation. He's upset with, everything. And so, I think, he doesn't want to be held accountable. I guess if I were in his, situation, maybe I get it. But, he needs to be held accountable. And we just need to push back every time he challenges one of our fundamental institutions.
Well, speaking of holding him accountable, as you know, I don't have to tell you that the individual mandate is now gone under the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. Do we have any sense of whether that's killing health care in the United States?
Well, you know, I mean, one is... It has the potential to undermine, our healthcare system because, I mean, we need everybody to be registered, everybody to participate, including people who are young and healthy, because that's how, you know, that's how insurance works, and I think it should be a responsibility that everybody should live up to in terms of buying insurance and participating in the exchanges. But the thing we're also learning is that despite his best efforts to try to dissuade people from signing up for the Affordable Care Act, people have been. And I think because people understand, you know, that it's important to have health insurance. It's important, you know, for the whole system that people sign up. So, you know, I don't know how all this is going to, you know, impact the overall Affordable Care Act, but we're going to do what we can to try to educate people to make sure that they participate because it's important.
Do you think, you know, the old saying goes one step forward, two steps back? Maybe it should be two steps back and three steps forward. Do you think the fact that we're seeing the results of this, as you're just speaking now, will lead people to say, hey, we had something good, we got to go back to it?
Yeah, sometimes you take things for granted, and it's not until it's being threatened or you lose it that you realize how good it was. Look, the Affordable Care Act wasn't perfect. We needed to fix it. We needed to expand it. We need to build on it. I mean, I believe we ought to be moving toward a single-payer type of approach, but clearly we needed to do more. But I think enough people received the benefits from the Affordable Care Act to realize that we do not want to go backwards. And so... That is encouraging, but look, the reality is that this guy who wants to undo it all is the president, and you know his party controls the House and the Senate, and so they're bent on doing as much damage as they possibly can. And I just find that cruel, because at the end of the day, we all need health care, and hopefully we'll never have to use it. We'll be healthy until the day we leave the planet. But the bottom line is that. We need it. I think one of the things that prevented a wholesale repeal was the fact that so many people came up and told their stories about how the Affordable Care Act not only helped them, but in many cases literally saved their lives. And I think in this country, I mean, you know, health care ought to be viewed as a right for everybody, and that's what we ought to be committed to. And so, I'm hoping that maybe in the November elections that people will send a very different signal to this president, and we can get back on track. I should point out to you that in the Virginia election for governor last November, that the number one issue was health care, and the Republican legislature was not allowing for there to be a Medicaid expansion to get more people covered, and people rejected that, and they voted for the Democratic governor and basically turned around the state legislature. Almost giving it to the Democrats, giving him a Democratic majority because of that issue of health care. So I think when Republicans go after health care, they do so at their own political risk.
It's great to talk to Jim McGovern of the beautiful Massachusetts 2nd District. I love that district. You're very lucky to have it, don't you think?
I am. I count my blessings every day.
It's a great place to be. Jim McGovern, thanks so much for being with us. When we come back, I got a lot of other things I want to talk to you about. It's not a singing group, but DACA and the Dreamers and others, and we'll be back the next time.
Thank you.